everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're trying to free our equipment up one enslaved computer at a time. We've got Ernie Hancock on the line with us here. We tried to do a video of this, but unfortunately, we're going to have to do an audio, and you just have to have the pleasure or displeasure of looking at me for the next several minutes. Before we go to Ernie, and I introduce him properly, just we're brought to you by Noble Gold. And tell you, Noble Gold can save your retirement. They can save your bank account. I'm a customer, 6.5 years, been advertising for them for 7.5 years. And I feel confident that I'm going to come through most of what's going to happen to us unscathed. The Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says they can keep anything they want in the bank. You're an unsecured creditor. So that's why I'm encouraging you to make the switch right now. Number one, get your retirement out of the bank. Let me show you how it's done. I'll send you a free information packet electronically. And Noble Gold will be there waiting for your call. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. Number's on there. Look it over. Call them and say, help me. I don't want the banks to give me a 1929 moment where they take everything. The federal government wants me to tell you there's no guarantees in any kind of investment, and past performance can't be construed as future expectation. And we're happy to give that warning. They should also be giving a warning about how criminal the banks are and how they can steal your money at a moment's notice. DaveHodgesGold.com. Our guest is Ernie Hancock. And Ernie used to run something called the Arizona Breakfast Club, and it was fantastic. We had some of the best people around come in and speak, and we're talking about rekindling it. That's another topic for another time. But Ernie is a talk show host. He's been a political activist. He was the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Maricopa County, and he's had lawsuits against voter fraud before voter fraud became an in thing to talk about. I mean, this is like the granddaddy of understanding voter fraud. I'm telling folks, listen, people give me credit for my work in 2020, along with Liz Harris here in Arizona. But I'm going to tell you right now, I got my marching orders and my lessons were learned from Ernie Hancock very early on. And I'll always be grateful for that. I've asked Ernie to come on and talk about the rise of Trump in the present time. And also, too, if he has any thoughts on the assassination, related items to the assassination. So, Ernie, welcome to the show. Glad you could be here. And hopefully our communication issues are in the past. And let's just jump right to it. There's a Trump phenomenon going on right now that I really haven't seen with this much of a fever pitch, driven, I think, by the assassination and the dire state of the country. What's your take on all this?
Trump is a side effect of our times, and it always takes a spark. You know, someone won't go to the back of the bus. Someone insists on exercising a right. Someone wants to represent something that finds popularity with the people. But it all comes down to people, and it's a mood, a culture, a person of the time, and it's time. And we've experienced a lot of this. I could see that this time was coming back as a young man in my 20s with just had my fourth child, Donna and I, in the late 80s, and got exposed to just enormous corruption in government. And it took well over a decade of activism just to convince people that there even was a problem. There is no problem, you conspiracist, you know. And it was so obvious to me what was coming that we put a lot of effort into it. We created, you know, web pages, our website, Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, pirateswithoutborders.com, occupytheland.org. Everything that we do is to bring focus to the uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies and what's a solution. And the solutions is really found in yourself. It's not going to, you're not going to be able to delegate the responsibility to someone else to fix it for you, which is what politics is. So I'm not a big fan of politics, but if you're not going to even have an accurate election, you're just going to steal it from me. Well, then it's another issue. You're just lying to me, you know, and I'm just, no, I that was definitely something that I wasn't willing to do and count my future, my family, my children, grandchildren. I got 12 grandchildren here in the Valley, so I'm in, you know. And we've done a lot of things, but one of the things where we kind of took our eye off the ball here in Arizona. We went national, international with the Ron Paul Revolution. And the Ron Paul Revolution logo came, that Revolution came from a campaign I did in 06. And we knew, you know, what was going to happen. And it was, I go, watch this. Well, it exploded. We went national. We just finished 4 years on the road in early 2020. We went on the road and built a studio on the Love Bus. And we went all around the country several times. And I got a real, and we didn't go to the big cities and everything. We went rural. And it was amazing to me to see the pent up desire for change, but without any mechanism to do it other than politics that was co-opted. Right. So the Trump phenomenon was not so much, I think, him as it was, and they even said this, when Vice President-elect Kamala Harris just got elected, it was in the November, December, of 2000, and they directly threatened MAGA and the MAGA support and the people. We got you. We're going to get some. And then, of course, January 6th was done up and all this other stuff. It was just, it's so bad. But who represents the desire for it, the bad guys to get theirs? Well, Trump, comes out again. Here we go. Well, the support for him and his message, I ain't sure what his message is. Make America great again, whatever that means. But the main thing was, it was drain the swamp and the deep state and go after them and so on. And he was president of the United States of America. I mean, do it then. But has he learned his lesson? He was so worried about what people thought of him. He thought that, I got the shiny badge. I'm president of the United States of America. Now around the world, he was very well respected, and we were seen as credible and had a lot of strength. And I think America had a lot of respect. But here at home, he was up against the media and the machine and the they, them, those that won't leave us alone. The banking, the K Street, the lobbyists, the pharma. It was just. And I think it was from covering him so closely, because we do the Trump report every week, every Thursday, on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, with a friend of mine that was a big, became a Trump supporter. And when he came down the escalator in the summer of 15, he emailed me, and he was a Ron Paul supporter, a Republican. And he said, "Now, Ernie, don't be a hater, but I want to come on every week and do the Trump report." Well, I was, heck yeah, I can, you guys are still voting. I mean, I can do that all day long. So that was really not us, praising Trump. It was Frank and I, it still is, Frank and I arguing over why voting even matters and what difference it make, and he should do this and that. So it's very entertaining to the audience and educational, but it gives me an opportunity to kind of get updated on all the news, inside, outside, the lawfare, his administration, the campaigns, his opposition, in and out of the party. When you get, by the time you get to the Republican National Convention, which I've been watching more of it than I'm, willing to admit, it is a, by that time, I don't know what the general public has gotten from what's really going on. And if you're not following Trump, if you're not part of MAGA, if you're not part of the media, if you're not, you don't really know, because they, them, those are in control of the media, the narrative, all these other networks. Well, what happens is those that know what's going on, kind of could have easily predicted he was going to get shot at, because we were like, there is no way they could let him get back in. We were, a good friend of mine, Robert Anderson, that's he's retired now, but he's a big Politico, an activist and so on. But he's been watching every rally and the anticipation that they were going to shoot him. He's been saying, he goes, I'm not missing him, because one of these is going to be history. Man, well, he got it. The small rally in Pennsylvania, north of Pittsburgh, I think. And it was a very small, venue. It wasn't like a big, but it was right before the Republican National Convention. Mm-hmm. Now, whether this was planned or, you know, a lot of stuff's going to come out, you know, after, but it was the rhetoric that you would get from the president of the United States, supposedly Biden, the entire media, all the opposition, even a lot of Republicans. We're going to have to shoot him. We're going to have to murder him. And you got Jane Fonda coming on The View saying he must be murdered. We got murder. She said it twice, murder. These people, you know, and you got these young kind of soft-minded people out there wanting to do what they think is right or going to make him famous or the Hinckley thing so he can get some actress to pay attention to him or whatever, like when they shot Reagan. This is, they count on this. And when you're talking hundreds of millions of people out there and you get this rhetoric like you're doing history a favor, don't you want to be the one to shoot Hitler? You know, that kind of thing. It's almost like expected. You know, and that's what we were, you know, anticipating, is there's going to be a weak-minded people that are targeted, helped, encouraged, got in their timeline on their Facebook of a bunch of stuff, and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up, and then somebody takes a shot. And that could be it. It could be a lot of things, but it was not unanticipated by us. And what happened was they missed. And when they missed, and they still clipped him, they got his ear. There was blood on his face, and he puts his fist up, fight, fight, fight. That was it. It's over. He is definitely going into the White House unless.
Yeah.
How important it is it to they them those, only us alone, that he not be in there after having had the power, had the respect, had the international connections, have an understanding of what's going on, what he's up against. I don't think they them those are going to be able to allow him to be president. What happens, I don't know, but they did everything they could to get in his way last time. But with the assassination attempt, with the history, with him having been in there before, there is going to be a dramatic change coming in, you know, his, beginning of his administration. If he doesn't do it in the first 100 days, you know, I don't know what he's waiting on. So this is the release of all the JFK files, the release of all of the information about Big Pharma, the elimination of all of these liability protections that these guys got, the changing in the banking system, they're not going to get the wars that they want. I mean, it's just, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know what the bad guys are afraid of. They're afraid of someone like Trump with the support of the people to not go into another war, to get more individual freedom, to do away with the administrative state, that this Chevron deference decision that came out of the Supreme Court, people don't understand how important that is. That's what real quick, this is what happened. As I remember, there was a Chevron EPA environmental something happened, or they were trying to put some restriction on them. It goes to the Supreme Court and they just punted and said, you know what, we're just going to let the experts in these alphabet soup agencies take care of it. You guys go do it. We're tired of getting all these cases and having to worry about, you know, what pelicans are going to be protected. Yeah, so you guys take care of it. Once they gave them that power, the administrative state just went stupid. Well, so bad that this case that just got decided was about some fishermen in New England that I don't know what agency, Game and Fish, EPA, somebody came up and said, you know, you have to pay for a cabin, and it better be nice, a cabin for a regulator to go fishing with you. We're going to go out in the ocean. We'll tell you what's up. And they went, oh, heck no. So that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and it became obvious what was going on. It was just going to keep getting worse. So they finally said, nope, you want to mandate people do anything and tell them whatever, you got to pass the law, Congress. Quit being lazy and just go around running, you know, for office again from the first day you get there and raising money and not doing your job. So this is what I remember when one of the Supreme Court justices, one of the women, I can't remember her name, but when she was up, Kamala Harris was a senator, and she got up and she said, what are you going to do about the Chevron deference issue? And how are you going to rule on that? And nobody knew what the heck she was talking about, because the administrative state, this apparatus, this alphabet soup of government that they're doing, that is what they were afraid was going to be taken away from them, pull the rug out from under the socialists and the communists and the whateverists that want to rule everything. So when this case did come up, because sooner or later it's coming up, and they ruled to strike down the administrative state, that is going to be, there's going to be hell to pay if Trump comes in again. And it's going to have to be, if they want to govern you, the right, wing of the bird of prey or the left wing of the bird of prey, but they intend to govern you. And they have to do it through Congress and legislation, as opposed to just some alphabet soup does a filing with the Federal Register and all of a sudden you got to, give them a cabin on your boat. So this is going to change everything. And it's overdue. And Trump is just there at the time. Now, let me finish this monologue on this one point. Steve Bannon, I thought, represented somebody that understood just how evil and bad and a bad character and malintent that this whole system was. And go and got a kick butt and clean house. Well, what happened was he just finally got to where, I can do better outside. I can't, peace out. You guys, you figure it out on your own. I'm loyal opposition and we'll be back. So that's why they got to get Bannon in jail. And he's in jail now, but he'll be out before the election. And I guarantee he'll be part of the administration. And I think they already have thousands of replacements of the bureaucracies and the cabinet and administrative positions and so on. They're going to do some butt whipping because Trump, in my opinion, way too worried about what the media and what Congress and the Senate and people thought and trying to work with. That is not what was needed. And I think he figured that out. So hopefully 24, he goes in, it's with a meat cleaver going after the budget. He's going to do a Javier Milei in Argentina, go all hardcore anarchist libertarian on him, and anarcho-capitalist and say, and we don't need this, 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 and bring the power back to the states and to the individual. That was 9th and 10th Amendment stuff, stop and use enough. So, but the courts are so corrupt. I've been through that. I've got gazillion lawsuits I've been through, and Ninth Circuit Court all the way up, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, three cases, Supreme Court Arizona, I get it. And the most advancement that I ever made was not in what some judge said, I don't care what they say, it was the coverage of it. It was having a government number that was permission slip for the media to cover the effort. And from that, you could see that the people understood or could understand what was going on. So I'm going, okay, this is a timing thing. This was long overdue for this battle. Now, a lot of people, I think, are of the opinion, and I haven't really given it a lot of play, but after the assassination attempt, here we go. It's going to be settled with blood and steel. This is going to be a battle of will down to how many people got to die. And I'm telling you, Latin America and the Western Hemisphere is just littered with all kinds of politicians promising going up against the narrative and the power of the incumbents, and they just wind up dead one after another. I was shocked that Javier Milei, was able to be seated. Now, they're after the attempt at a failed attempt, a miss on President Trump. I'm not sure what they might do. But I can't imagine that they're going to allow Trump to take the power and do. So then here comes J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance being a pick for VP. I'm not sure. That might be insurance for Trump. So I don't is. Know. But there is definitely a change.
You mean a Trump clone? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I mean, that he would continue, maybe even go harder. I don't know. It's but Mike Pence was not it. That was just, when he brought Renz Priebus in to his cabinet and Mike Pence, and he was playing politics. And I'm going, no, this is not, it's not. And I've been very critical of his administration. It was weak what he was doing. He was trying to be liked by a system that ain't ever going to like him. So I think he's matured. He's grown up. He's become aware, and he's surrounding them people with people. And I know, you know, some of the people that are in, like I'm friendly with Patrick Byrne from the billionaire from Overstock. He come on the show quite a bit. And so I happened to catch up with him at in Washington State, and people were saying they wanted to go to the, what was the, Save America, whatever, Clark event. What is it? Wake America. It was a Clay Trump Clark, rally thing.
A Clay Clark event. And he runs a good show. I've spoken at it twice. It's Reawaken America Tour is what it's called.
Right. Yeah, very cool. You got to do that. And so I was at the one in Idaho. And what was that? Last year or more ago, two summers ago. And Patrick Byrne, you know, kind of intimated to me, you know, that they – you know, they got plans. You know, there was, and this is, it was before the 20 election. And it was, there's an inside group that are highly technical, that are very savvy with computers, and they know, and they got information. And there's, you know, they just got to get through all this lawfare. They got to get through this campaign. If they ever get into the office again, I don't think Trump will make the same mistakes, and he will be the person signing the pardons and signing the clemency and signing the go get them and the bill. And if he has a Republican, see, when you say Republican House and Senate, that doesn't mean anything to me. You know, they're all deep state crap. If you get enough people in there that are supportive of Trump, which they all are going to say they are now, but and the states. So this is going to be a totally different America. And we did a series of shows on the fourth turning years ago that predicted this. And it kind of goes through now, as the fourth turning is happening now. And there's an after. And by 30, 32, they predict that we're on our way up again into the liberty, whatever. But it may include a war. And I'm trying to, you know, avoid that. You know, I vote no, which is one reason why I've relocated and we're building a home. I mean, way out on the edge of the desert. And I mean, I'm at the end of a dirt road that wasn't there from another dirt road that went to this dirt road to a trail that I'm out there. And the reason is I believe that this is going to become a food thing. It always is. And it's just, if you can feed yourself, then I think you're going to be able to even think, you know, about what your next thing. And you're doing your precious metals thing. I am with you, brother, man. It is, you got to have it, and in your own control and in your hollow hand where you know it is, because if somebody else is holding it for you, you don't got it. Now, David Webb did a book, The Great Taking, and I had him on last year and just had him on again this last month. And it was all about something that we had written about and predicted, and who's earning and was, you know, in July of 08. And it was, I go, look, the way they got this thing set up, you have your retirement with anything. It's not just your bank account. It's all of your 401k, your retirement, your IRA, everything. Any investment that you have in there, they got a little thing that says, yeah, and when, you know, the brokerage goes bankrupt and all that, oh, sorry, you went bankrupt. Now give me my stock. Well, it's kind of up for who really owns it and got it. And this Gerald Celente, Trends Journal, he went through this with a gold thing with, what was it, MF Global or something. And it was, he bought a futures thing. It's called hypothecation and rehypothecation. They use your deposits as their own collateral to do investments. Well, their investments went bad. His money went away and he didn't get his gold. He's like, well, what the hell? Yep. You totally agreed on line 37 on page 400 that, you know, we could do this. Well, he learned his lesson, and we've seen this building up. And in 94, they kind of finished it with the Uniform Commercial Code with all the states, that unless they change it, which 20 states have introduced legislation in just the last few months trying to get this taken care of for their state citizens, that they can't just take your stocks, your securities, and then it goes, and it's the banks, and it's gone. So this is something that David Webb, as a hedge fund manager, predicted, demonstrated, showed. I mean, he meets with, you know, Soros and stuff. And he was, you know, up there. And he was like, look, I don't think people understand. It's not a could happen or going to happen. It's an already happened thing. So that was what we were predicting back in July of 08. And I was very enthusiastic about having him come on and explain himself to the public. And our a member of our audience is one of the ones that took that show and worked with him to create a lot of the legislation that these 20 states have introduced. So it's already happened, Dave. And when you're talking about the precious metal, I mean, I can say this, you know, I'm not a financial whatever, it doesn't matter. My opinion is, get your money, your resources, everything out of the stock market, out of anybody else's control, convert it into whatever that you have it. It is yours.
Yes.
That you, nobody else, that you get your little stocks, however you want to put your securities in a, on the, I don't even think you can even do that. It goes to precious metals, maybe some crypto or something, but I'm a silver stacker, man. I just see silver is going to explode. And the reason is, yes, is because they, them, those already have it planned. This great reset is already started. And if you don't protect yourself, it's over. And that's why they have to go after America. The wealth of the middle class, which is going away, is such that it gives you options. It gives you freedom. You can liquidate and go build your cabin out in the middle of the whatever and live and raise, you know, a family and join a community and restart America or whatever. And you have the promise that America was supposed to be, is that your rights as an individual to do that should be protected. Well, what do? They come after your home. They come after your land. You'll own nothing. And here's your happy shot. So that's what we've been advocating, solutions to that goal of the very worst sorts of people, of which Biden represents now. Really? So yeah, it's so obvious that if you don't do it, a lot of the things that I'm sure David has been explaining to all your audience, I don't know what I'm past the point of trying to save everybody. It's now there's a truth button on your keyboard that if you really want to know the truth, you can find it. If you want your bias confirmed, you can find it. If you want, you know, be a community of, you know, I got blue hair and piercings and tattoos and want to, you know, freaking have the government take care of me and I play video games all the time, you can find it. So if you're not looking for the truth, if you're not looking for autonomy as a human being, and the promise of the American experiment was for you to be able to do that and not get in your way or your pursuit of happiness, then I can't help you. So now we're enacting our own solutions. We're advocating for you to be able to occupy the land, you know, go out and provide for yourself, be ready for a supply chain that's not going to be existing. You already seen, you know, how that goes. And I'm going, it's going to be a food thing. I guarantee it. Blah, 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 blah. Food thing.
Well, and Ernie, you can't eat precious. Let me interject this because you're absolutely right. Since Biden's been in office, over 120 food processing plants have been destroyed. Not one federal investigation. And then we've got the Chinese buying up farmland, often adjacent to military bases. You got Bill Gates buying up farmland and putting his vertical farming in where you're going to eat bugs. And so we have all this going on with our food supply, and they're getting ready to capture the food supply so they can control what we eat, how we eat, but mostly how they can control us politically. And you're absolutely, you know, listen, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to sum it up and you critique what I'm going to say. I'm hearing you say, okay, the political solution isn't there. Elections aren't going to work. You people better isolate yourselves from the masses because there's going to be food riots and so forth. And you better learn to become self-sufficient. That's the only way you're going to get through this. Am I pretty close to what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people criticize me thinking that that means you want to be a hermit and, you know, not, oh no, you need community, you know, but you don't need a freaking city that you got to pay for. You know, it's with technology, that's why we did PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Pirates Without Borders is all of the technology that went into eight categories. It's communication, shelter, energy, food and water, education, transportation, automation, several kind of health. And these categories, there's technology that provides for, you can have your own energy. you know, with enough solar, you can make your own water, condense it from the atmosphere. You can different building techniques that we're going to be doing. All kinds of communication abilities, mesh networks to get off of data in those grid to be able to DARPA, IGA, know what's up. So this is why we did that. Was to demonstrate that you can live a high quality, big screen TV, do whatever, communicate around the world life outside of their grid. We're not just off the grid, we're above the grid. So we're demonstrating that with our home that we're building. Now that we got 18 acres out there, I can do what I want. So we're going to go and do that. And we're already starting to join the community. We're going to different parties. We're meeting people. We're communicating and combining communication ability between two different valleys out here. And we're doing it as an example of it's going to get done. And this is why you're seeing a lot of you'll see this homesteading or tiny home thing. Homesteading doesn't necessarily mean you got to have a tiny home. Mine's not going to be tiny. But the mindset behind it, the stress that's relieved when you don't have to be, you're just working to pay taxes and interest on mortgages and everything. I mean, it's not even principal. I mean, you're working and being enslaved to be told what to do by people that require a big, giant chunk of your paycheck. And then the rest of it is going to interest on credit cards and mortgages. So I'm just, this is unsustainable. And if we don't advocate for us taking care of ourselves and being part of a community, the idea of an intentional community, which is really popular with a lot of liberty-minded people, doesn't appeal to me. You know, even though I'm alpha and I would, you know, get to have my say and do whatever, I just don't want the stress of, you know, who's going to fix the backhoe when, you know, Fred borrowed it and used it and it's broken, kind of, you know what I mean? It's always a people thing. It's a social structure thing. And when they ask me, we want you to join our, you know, hippie commune or whatever, I go, all right, I got three questions. One, what do I have to do? What's required of me? Two, what can't I do? What am I prevented from doing? And three, what's your conflict resolution? Well, there's a lot of things they want me to do I don't want to do, or things I can't do that I wanted to do. And then who's going to decide what you know what? I'm good. I have my own land. I got a fence. Now, what you do outside my, don't care, but this is mine. Mine, not yours, mine. So we'll start with that. Then other people that live around a community, you be an add to the community. You help. You offer your equipment that you have that they may not, you know, your knowledge or whatever. You ask for it. You help with the barn raising. You go to the barn dance. I mean, you know, whatever. That, I am not an isolationist. I am a voluntary community that I can be part of or not. That's what's coming. And right. I've seen it in my travels around the country that it already exists in rural America in abundance. Half of the population is not screaming for all this crap that they're doing in the cities. So this is what this election cycle is going to be about. It's going to be, does flyover country get to be left alone or not? That's what I see coming.
That's a really good comment. Is flyover country going to be left alone? Because I was going to make the point as you were talking, and I'm just going to give you one issue here. Janet Yellen and Biden's people have talked about climate mitigation for your home as part of the sustainable development side of the UN they've adopted. In other words, your home can be paid off. Your property tax might be at an acceptable level that you can handle. But then they come in and say, you're not carbon neutral, and if you don't fix this in X amount of time, we're going to seize your property. Have you thought about how you're going to deal with that?
You know, a lot of the conversation, well, I'm at a different age. I'm 63 now. And, you know, this is really a battle for my grandchildren, children and grandchildren.
Exactly.
I'm not leaving this to my grandkids to fight this.
I hear you.
So I'm good. I've had a good life. I got, you know, great kids. They understand what's up. The grandchildren, I love them to death. They're awesome, every one of them. So I am, they come up, you know, the front drive with intent to whatever, you know, I'm definitely going to say no. I mean, so, but I'm creative. You know, I've done a lot of things that really make them look bad. You know, they've shot and missed a bunch of times. So it's really, I can be very creative in how I do they, them, those and their philosophy damage. But a lot of other people are not as creative, and they're just had enough. I think there's a book that was written right after Waco. In fact, it ended, you know, with some Waco news in it. And it was like less than a year later, it came out. It was called Unintended Consequences, written by a guy named John Ross, I think. And I've had him on the show a couple of times. We read the book when it first came out. We bought a copy for every one of the 90 legislators in Arizona. And we were like, we were so convinced that this was how it was going to happen. And it was just a book about, you know, all the administrative state, you know, this kind of stuff, kind of focused on the ATF as a gun, you know, kind of thing oriented. But it was so clear of what it was going to be. It was going to be little bits of opposition and resistance all over the country and every department of every. And that's what I think they don't understand. Once the people decide that they're going to be ungovernable, you aren't going to be able to govern them. That's just the way it is. And it's a sense of justice that's one thing Ron Paul was going on about is he goes, look, we have to understand the definition of these words. You know, freedom, liberty, heritage, culture, these words that we take so seriously and every politician's speeches and so on, they don't mean anything. And if we understand them and advocate for them and insist on them being protected, it's just going to go away. Well, I think enough people have realized that. And after this bullet grazing of President Trump's head, I think it's on. I think they understand this. And what's been amazing to me is the people that the Democrats would consider, locked in with them, minority communities, sexual orientation, women, whatever, they're abandoning it. You got black comedians up there going, man, Trump is gangster. He got hit in the head. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it is just so much support for the machismo that is missing. There is no toxic masculinity, protecting your family, being a breadwinner, providing for your family. That's bad. Being a homemaker, that's bad. Raising your own children, not letting Uncle Sam do it, that's bad. We just had yesterday, Elon Musk announced that he's moving SpaceX from California to Texas. He's already done it with, Tesla and a bunch of other stuff, whatever. And finally, SpaceX, boom, we're done. We're going to Texas. The reason was, it was the last straw. Gavin Newsom signed into law legislation that gave the public school system the ability to help transition kids to another gender without notifying or the participation of the parents.
I saw that.
When they did that, he was like, man, we're done. I'm out. So this is going to happen on a massive scale. After Trump got shot, Elon Musk came out and pledged $45 million a month to the PAC in support of Trump. Incredible. This is, and a bunch of other people. I mean, that's just top of the heap here. It is so done. So what are they going to do? They, them, those. And this is not just America. This is a galactic empire thing, man. This is aliens from Alpha and whatever the hell. I don't know what it is, but it is global. This is something that the banks have been involved with, the war machine, the financials, everything is to get what they, them, those want. They're willing to sacrifice every baby, to the altar of whatever the hell and drink their blood to get it to happen. It is a spiritual battle. It is good versus freaking evil, because evil finds their friends and they get together and they plan on doing evil stuff, collective evil, and we're going to be evil together and get rich. Well, this is when, good men and women finally have to, when it's clear, they have to make a decision. They have to make a decision. What side are you going to be on? Will you comply? Will you accept the mark of the beast? Will you get forced vaccinated? Will you take your central bank digital currency and be surveilled on everything? Will you allow them to eliminate cash? Will you start trading in precious metals? Will you? You have to make a decision now, because here it comes.
It's amazing what you're saying here. I think people are going to try one last time for the political solution. I'm talking most people, but I hear what you're saying. And I'm telling you, there's a big part of me that agrees with you, Ernie. If Trump fails, if they take him out, the GOP falls apart, they promote false flags and we don't have an election, whatever happens. Okay. The bottom line is, part of me is just saying, I don't care what you do because I'm not following your directions. I say that frequently. They've gone unconstitutional, ungodly, and I am not doing what they tell me to do. And I think you're right. The best way to protect yourself is to be as isolated as possible. But I don't know that we're ever going to be totally able to.
I don't think isolation is the word. I think it's insulated.
Okay. All right. I'll stand corrected. I think that is a better term for what you're saying. I agree. But I think that separating yourself from easy control and putting yourself right in a position where you're less controllable, you're less monitored, you're less surveilled. I'm hearing what you're saying. I mean, this, you know where I live, Ernie. I live out in the middle of nowhere, but somewhere is catching up to my nowhere, and I'm nervous as a result. I don't like the increase in traffic. At one time, we had 300 families out here fighting against John McCain's attempted takeover of our properties, and there were just 300 families. And now we're starting to get surrounded by developments. It's scary. I don't like being in the middle where I can be surveilled. And I hear what you're saying. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, one thing I'm going to say to the audience about what Ernie's saying here, what he's saying it by not saying it. He's not giving you a political solution to say vote for Trump and everything's going to be okay. Listen to me clearly. There hasn't been one change in election law that means a damn thing. And I've been writing about this for 4 years. Ernie's been involved in this for decades. And there hasn't been one change, Ernie, not one change. This election is going to be stolen. Okay. And I want to ask you this question before we close. Do you think there's anything that the people who have usurped America, do you think there's anything they won't do to stay in power?
Oh, they wouldn't shoot Trump or blow him up or anything, because that would be wrong.
Right.
They don't care. There's not a moral hurdle they can't get over.
I love it.
You know, this is one thing I always said. I said, you know, for years I would go, you know, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm going, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You'll see the legislation. You'll see, you know, California, we own your children. And you're not allowed to know when we whack their weenie off. You know, you'll have all this stuff, all the, you know, the great takings. You'll have all of the stuff that's going on, and you'll see it. It's like, you know, the dawn starting to break or something. I mean, you'll see it. And then all of a sudden, it'll happen overnight. There'll be a bank holiday on Friday, and you'll wake up Monday, and here's your CBDC purple script of you want money, and you want to participate, and you want to buy your Cheerios. Well, you know, here, this is how you're going to do it. So this is going to happen. It's just, it'll be overnight, but it won't be all at once. I mean, we see it happening. They'll go, Ernie, how did you know? I'm like, how the hell did you not know? What was it you put your head in the sand, and I'm done. It is so obvious now to so many for so long that I'm not trying to save everybody like I used to. I want everybody to see, everybody to pay attention to evolution, everybody to look at the libertarian activism in Arizona, everybody to see, you know, what we accomplished in a lot of, everybody to know the rhetoric and reasoning behind everybody. Not everybody's ready for it. Not everybody cares. And they did it from birth. I mean, it is just, they got mom out of the house. They put her in the workforce. They got her as a taxpayer. They got the government taking care of your kid in preschool at three. They got. And what did you think was going to happen? Yeah. So now it's our responsibility as individual human beings to perpetuate, to advocate for the continuation of human beings to achieve their potential, that we are so, how like angels in anticipation of what the future is going to be. And that is what they have to go after. When Elon Musk, whether you like him or not, not even the point, when he inspires people, we're going to be on Mars and we're going to have highways and tubes underground and we're going to whatever, whatever. Then you got that Neuralink thing, which may have some benefits, but you first, you know. But the whole thing is that this inspiration in the future and aspiration to be part of the future, that what is possible, abundance is coming. There's abundance is coming. That's going to be, and that's what Freedom's Phoenix, the logo, is all about. From the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch, Freedom's Phoenix, rebirth of freedom, but you have to go through the ashes. And we knew that that was starting in the summer of 20 when they were burning down Portland and getting bailed out by Kamala Harris. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I go, yep, here we go. So it is going to happen. And if you're not preparing for that eventuality, then you're just going to be roadkill on the highway to hell.
I think you're absolutely right.
That's
about
a good
the roadkill.
No, that's a good one. I'm going to remember that. Roadkill on the highway to hell. You can use that.
I'm writing that down. Roadkill.
And I just came to me. That's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, talking to Dave, you get good stuff.
This is great. Roadkill on the highway to hell. That's exactly, you know, but you know what? In a serious moment here, you're exactly right. Most people will have no idea what will hit them. And you said that very well, that it'll happen on a Friday. You'll go to bed Friday night, you'll wake up Monday morning, and your bank account will be gone. And this is why I represent Noble Gold. And I'm not trying to give them an additional plug here, but that's why, because I looked at this and I said,
plug them.
People insulate themselves. You know, I also sell storable food. And I represent them. People need to become self-sufficient, and a lot of people don't see it.
Or at least have the time. See, that's one thing. As things get bad, we don't really have the space till we're building. It's like we're building the roads, clearing land, getting ready the sites, like you're doing the drainage, you know, out there. But what's the first structure you would build? Well, you know, I need to get like a utility room, put up the solar panels, that kind of thing. But Don and I are talking, we need to build a, you know, underground storage root cellar of, we got to get more food. And we have enough to last just us probably, I don't know, 6 months, 2 years, you know, depending. But I'm ready. We've already talked about it. You know, we're going to be making a trip and, you know, we're going to load up on more rice and beans. We can store that. And it's just, if you aren't able to put calories in your mouth, that hopefully isn't poison. If you aren't able to do that, you're not going to be able to think straight. Your priority is going to be about eating. You know, there's this young woman, Parks or whatever. She's from North Korea that has her own show. She just went on Joe Rogan. I just was watching yesterday. And she was talking about in North Korea when she was a kid, it was all about hunger. Everybody was looking to get fed. Everybody was, you know, that was the only thing on their minds. And if you grew your own food, everything belonged to the state. And if you grew something, they ate it, they executed you. They're like, no, 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 no. And they want you weak. And this is why, you know, the soy boy thing, everything soy, everything, you know, has got chemicals in it, everything, your fertility is going down. They want fewer humans. They're going to kill you if they have to and eat the bugs while they grow and make money. So this is very obvious that they are lowering the testosterone with the plastics involved and whatever. They're trying to get rid. That was one thing. Tucker Carlson did a presentation. He was in Australia just, recently. And he said, you know, of course they are really going after nicotine because nicotine increases testosterone. And I'm like, really? You know, so anyway, it's being noticed that every single avenue that they can go after, that they can target to make you less of a man, less of a woman, less of a human being, more of an automaton, more of a slave, in not just in body, but in spirit, in mind. That's why Christians have been attacked so much throughout history. They answer to a higher authority. They have faith. They have hope. They have compassion. They have love. All these things are what make tyrants and dictators nervous, and they are nervous because the rise is coming. Now, what they may do is just blow up a Trump plane and say, yeah, well, we're good. Like Chuck Schumer said, 6 ways from Sunday, we'll take care of the intelligence community if you're not going to be allowed. get over it. Well, then you're going to get a real insurrection. Now, this kind of pretend play, they made up crap January 6th thing. But the insurrection is not going to be, I think, that people are going to go to Washington and take over the monuments and the, you know, and the marble and then we're in charge. You know, who gives a crap? It's going to be ignoring them. It's going to be Ninth and Tenth Amendment kind of stuff. It's going to be, I wish to be protected from the federal government, the long arm of these alphabet soups, and my local government and state and city and county better be on board or you're our target. Secession. Because you're here to protect the citizens.
Ernie,
so that's what I see the progression.
It's going to be local, county, and state secession in some levels. I totally agree with you. It could be just community-based secession. But I'll tell you this, too, and we don't have time to really develop this. You know, I spoke at Take Our Borders Back San Ysidro a few weeks ago, and I talked to a lot of Border Patrol people that were there, and they confirmed what other Border Patrol people have told me. 10,000 Chinese are crossing the border every month into California, and they're also here in Phoenix, too. The bottom line is they're going to use these foreign assets, the terrorists, the foreign troops. They're going to use them to come after people like us. And there's going to be a shooting civil war. And I don't want it, but I think it's inevitable. I think it's inevitable.
It might be a short one. There's a whole bunch of armed people in Arizona. You know, that was one thing. A friend of mine went to the recent gun show, and he said, and it was, I guess it was just this past weekend. It was after he had got shot or something. He sent me a thing. He said, they sell about 40,000 rounds of ammunition, you know, over the weekend, this one, you know, big, they have big ammunition thing there. He goes, they were selling out and they kept bringing more in, and it was over 250,000 rounds. And I'm going, yep. Whenever this kind of stuff happens, there's always a big giant uptick in firearm purchases. And this time it's ammo. People are like, yep, we're gunned up. We need more ammo. So this is, I think, the only reason that America has the people, now government, they've capitulated a long time ago, but the people, the only reason we are as free as we are, and there weren't Superman, we never made you take the shot. We just made it life inconvenient as hell for you. The reason I think America is as free and as non-compliant as they are is because of the gun issue. If we didn't have the ability to defend our life and liberty, I don't think that we would have any. And this is definitely a thing. And they're going to want to come after the gun. Biden's already done a big gun thing about, you know, the 20-year-old that shot Trump and all that. And people of the gun supporter, it's not a gun thing. It's a right to defend your life and liberty and your family thing. This is so clear. And people around the world are, hell, even Putin says, don't give up your guns. I mean, it's amazing what's coming. And they are all in their own circle. They talk only to their own people. They go to their own parties. They control all the mouthpieces in the media. They believe their own BS. They do not understand that it can't go the way that they're thinking. Not in the America that still exists here, certainly rural America, for the past 4 years that I've been traveling to, being an activist with, putting up signs, helping anybody to ask for help in opposing their local whatever, and it is county. We knew this in the mid-90s when they tried to do their regional government thing. This was a election they had, I think it was like 95 in Maricopa County. They tried to do this regional government thing that was only like 50 point to 49 point something. They lost, and a lot of it was our activism. And the reason was there was a guy that owns Ganem Jewelers, the patriarch of that, the father, he got us a lot of information about how they were doing it. And we printed up a bunch of stuff and this long story. But the main thing is county. They go after when they close down your business and lock down and you're not allowed and whatever. It was county health department. That's it was correct. A county said you can't open the gym. It was a county with a restaurant. It was a county. And they did in this League of Cities and Towns and stuff. That's all part of this stuff. And they got all the community just probably like 5-6 years ago. They finally got the last municipal corporation in the state of Arizona. 100% is on with this League of City and Town thing where the politicians, your elected officials don't run it. The city manager does. And this whole thing, they get in their law enforcement, they get the police chief, they get the town manager, they get some city attorney, and they get a municipal judge, and they rule you. And this is what's coming.
Ernie, we got
it's already happening.
Ernie, we got to hold it right here. We're over time. But I just want to say that's another show for another time. We're going to actually, I'm going to bring you back to talk about this because you're exactly right. We have lost local government and you've identified it. Ernie, very quickly, 10 seconds, how do people follow you?
Well, the biggest thing is freedomsphoenix.com, freedom with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And you'll see everything that we do is there.
And check out his radio show. That'll be on freedomsphoenix.com. Ernie,
right. Thanks. On the top right, you'll see Declare Your Independence.
Thanks so much, David, for coming on, my friend. Always good to talk to you.
You too, buddy. Bye.